read this morning from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. If you'd like to read along with me. Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start reading in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I want to speak this morning from these verses of Scripture. Pray the Lord be with me as I do so. I'm sure this covers an occurrence that each and every one of us are very familiar with and have possibly had to refer to in the past in specific instances. This, of course, covers the way you deal with a fault that you have or that you feel like someone has done towards you. These are the scriptures that our covenant, or the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church covenant, I'm sure states these scriptures on how to deal with someone whenever they give you a fault. I was reading through, oddly enough, the church history book that Elder Sylvester Hassel wrote. I don't know if any of you have it in your library, but it's a very accurate depiction of the history of the Church of God going all the way back to the time of the apostles. Elder Sylvester Hassel was one of our best ministers of the time. I think it was his cousin or maybe his brother co-authored it. And they cover the covenant rules of the churches whenever they were first established here in the New World, if you will, in America. And it went through the rules of the covenant of the Cahokia Association. It's in North Carolina. It even came down in some parts of Georgia. The Cahokia Baptist Church that was one of the first Baptist churches in Georgia still stands over in Akron, Georgia. You can go see it. It's not, they've departed from the faith, and they've got a huge building behind it now. But the church still stands there, and that church was part of that association. And so I read through it, and it brought out these verses of Scripture. This is how you deal with a situation amongst the church. I want to stress that. That's how you deal with a situation where you feel like a brother has wronged you or a sister has wronged you. This is the way that you deal with it. This is the way you deal with a disagreement in the church. In the church, I have to stress that. This is not necessarily the way that you deal with something outside of the church. You can use this if you want to, but you'll have trouble getting to the third thing. And I'm going to go through it one by one here in a minute. But you'll have trouble getting to the third thing if you use this outside of the church, because it says if a brother faults you, to bring him to the church. And the church is not going to hear a dispute that you have with someone outside of the church. We're not going to take up those things. We're concerned within the church of the church issues. And so that's the reason why this is the rules of covenant for how you deal with this situation in the church. And this is the only place. I'm not saying that the Lord won't bless it if you use it outside of the church, but you're sure to have the Lord's blessing to plenty if you use it within the church. We believe in a God of order. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said that himself in verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And then he winds up in verse 40 saying, let all things be done decently and in order. Our God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos, and he frowns upon chaos within his house. He frowns upon it. And each and every time we meet here in the Lord's house, we don't necessarily have to have smiles on our faces. But we ought to be in prayer that the Lord is smiling on his face when he looks at this body. That's the most important thing. We don't always have to see eye to eye, and we won't see eye to eye. We won't always see eye to eye as members of this church. But if we do things, whenever we feel like someone has a fault with us, or you have a fault with someone, if you do it the way the Lord has established it, the Lord will smile on it, and the Lord will bless it, and we'll keep on trucking, and we'll look back at it one of these days, and it'll just be a thing of the past. But if you don't do it in the way, in the order, in the decent order, in God's word, this is our order right here. This is the only thing we have. we can turn back and we can look at our rules of decorum. But if our rules of decorum, and I believe some of them are, I don't see a reason why some of the things are in rules of decorum. I disagree with them. If you want to talk to me about it, you can. I can't find a reason why some of them are in there because it doesn't line up with this. But the majority of them do, because our people have not been perfect all throughout history. If you can look back through the history of the Primitive Baptists, you won't see a perfect church. We're people. We're not God. We're not Christ. We're not perfect. We won't ever be perfect. The pastor won't be perfect. The deacons won't be perfect. They haven't been. They never will be. But if the best thing you can do is you can stay in line with God's word, because this will keep us in order. I guarantee you, if we stay in line here at Macedonia Church with the things laid out here in God's word, we'll be in order. We'll do things decently. Even if it's what the outside world frowns on, and they don't like the way we do it, and they never will. You can bend the rules a little bit to try to match them, and then if you bend it on one thing, they'll come and they'll tap you on another, and they'll expect you to do that differently too. It's just the way they'll use it. But that's the reason why we go back to God's word each and every time. Whenever we have an instance come up in the church, we go back to the word of God and say, look, how does the word of God tell us how to solve this issue? And that's what I want to go through this morning. I have a burden on my heart to go through these three things. If we do these three things, if we do them in order, the Lord will bless it. And again, we'll keep on moving, and we'll look back one of these days. If an issue ever comes up, we'll look back on it. And we'll say, man, I'm glad that we did things the Lord's way. I'm glad that we did it His way, because it's just what I just called it. It's a thing of the past. It's not something that continues to be a stumbling block to the church. In times past, I spoke a couple of weeks ago on things that I believe that the Primitive Baptists have done right and has caused us to be so small. And I believe that there's a lot that we've done wrong. And one of the things that we have done wrong is we have let things come up amongst our churches that necessarily were not handled in a biblical manner. And whenever they weren't handled in a biblical manner, it didn't instantaneously hurt that church. But over time, it just wore. Whenever you have conflict in the church, and over time, your children see it, my children see it, all our children see it, and it affects them. Believe it or not, you and I may be able to lay down at night, and we may forget about it because we may have prayed, we may have turned it over to the Lord in our mind, but our children witness it. And they may have witnessed their parents be hurt by it, and it continues to affect them. I know of a situation now with the church trying to obtain the possession of a new church building. An old Baptist church has gone out of existence, and a church that is still going wants to obtain that building. And the reason why some of the people who are in charge of that church who is closed is reluctant to let that new church in is because years and years ago, they saw their parents get into a squabble in the church. And so all they want to make sure is that the cemetery is taken care of outside where their family's buried. And they don't want to know the church meeting there, because that's all they got in their mind about the Friendly Baptist Church is that trouble that took place. And I don't know the trouble. I don't know the specifics of what happened. But I know that if you do things the way that God's Word tells you to do them, that the Lord will bless them. And that's a situation to me where the Lord's not blessing that situation. The Lord's not continuing to bless. May not have blessed it back then. They may not have done it right. I don't know if the Lord's not blessing that situation. Maybe because it wasn't handled right so long ago. And those people who are in charge of that meeting house won't turn it over to the church that wants them in there. They won't let them in there. And I think it's silly. It makes me mad. But at the same time, I don't know the reasons behind it. I don't know the reasons why that church won't, reason why the people in charge of that church won't turn the church over to allow someone else to meet there. But the whole theme of this 18th chapter is, and it is so important, is to maintain fellowship, maintain forgiveness, and to always be willing to do it. That's the whole theme of this whole chapter. The Lord starts out, if we go back, and if I reread the first verse, and moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. It's very important that you go and that you tell your fault. If you have a fault with somebody, you go to them first. You don't go to someone else. If you have a fault with someone, you don't go to someone else, because you know what you've just done. If you've done that, you've now created a fault between two people and one person. Maybe that fault wasn't there between the other, but once you go somewhere and tell somebody else what your fault is, then guess what? They may agree with you, and guess what? Now you've got two people with a fault against one person. Maybe you do it to another. And now you've got three people with a fault against one person, where at the beginning all you had was one fault against one person. It could have been solved, and it would have been done with. The Lord tells you to go to tell your fault to thee and be alone. And that's the way that the Lord blesses the situation. If you go, the Lord hates it when people even not wanting to. I'm not saying that anybody would intentionally do it. But I'm saying if you go to someone else first and you don't go to them alone, what you're doing is as the scripture refers to, you're sowing discord, and you may be doing it and you don't even know you're doing it, and the Lord hates it. In the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, I go to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 6. There's some things that are outlined here that the Lord hates. And one of them is sowing discord amongst brethren. He hates it because, again, his whole focus is on unity. His whole focus is on order. He wants his house in order. He smiles when his house is in order. He doesn't smile when it's in disorder. Proverbs chapter 6, if I start reading in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. There's three. A heart that devises with wicked imaginations. That's four. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. That's five. A false witness that speaketh lies is six. And he that soweth discord among brethren. The Lord, it's an abomination to God to do it. He hates it. And I can honestly say that I'm not innocent of that, of ever having done that. I mean, I'm not standing before you this morning. Again, I'll tell you time and time again, and I'll tell you again in case you think I've forgotten it. I'm not telling you I'm perfect on this. I'm not. I can look back in times past that I've messed this up. The Lord has not blessed that situation. In some instances, it's something that still carries on my shoulders. It's still a burden. It's not a burden to me in this house. It's a burden to me in other places because I didn't handle it like the Lord says to handle it. If you have a fault with your brother within this church, you go to him. And then, we're a bunch of brothers and sisters here who I hope and pray love each other. I've only known you. I've only been coming up here since October. And I've developed a love for each and every one of the families in this church. And I know if I can learn to love you, I'm not that easy to love. I don't just fall in love with everybody I meet. I'm sorry. I've been places before and I like people and I'll shake their hands, but I don't necessarily have a love and have a bond for them. That's the reason why I knew that the calling that this church voted on to call me as your pastor was from the Lord. Because the first time I came up here, the time I left, I couldn't get you off my mind. And I was told that I was told by someone familiar with the situation that if that's the way it is, it's like your first love. When you go out on a date with your first love, I know I couldn't get her off my mind. She was on my mind the whole, she was on my mind when I left. Everything I knew, she was the one I wanted to marry. And this goes with the same thing being called a pastor to the church. I couldn't get you off my mind. You were on my mind all the time. So I knew it was from the Lord. But again, I'm not in the habit of just going everywhere I go to speak, everywhere I go to preach. Just I love the Old Baptist. Don't get me wrong. There's a people that I wouldn't really go, there's not a people around that I wouldn't really go home with and break bread with and have fellowship with. But there's not a love everywhere like I have for the church where I pastor. I love the families of this church. I love to be your pastor. I hope that I can say that same thing 5-10 years from now. I hope and pray that that's the case. But again, the reason why I said that is because we can go to each other. If there's anywhere that you can go, you ought to feel like you can go to your brother and sister here in this church. You ought to feel more comfortable with it than going to your closest buddy who's outside of the church. And you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't go there if you've got a problem with someone in the church, which is what I'm going to get to here in a minute. Because the church at Corinth did it. The church at Corinth went outside of the authority of the church to try to solve a church issue. And the Lord didn't. The Apostle Paul said the Lord's not going to bless it. Why would you introduce the outside world to the problems within the church? We're not perfect. The Apostle Paul never says that the church is perfect. He never gives that indication that the church of Philippi, he loved it. But at the same time, he never indicated that they would never do anything wrong. But at the same time, we're not supposed to go to the outside world. You're supposed to go to your brother and to thee and him alone and tell him your fault. You're supposed to tell him, look, I feel like you're wrong on this. I feel like I've been done wrong on this. That's the way you handle that situation. That may be all it is. That may be all you have to do, and it may be done after that. But that's not always the route that we take. And the Lord's not going to bless them if you take another route. The Lord's not going to look down on it with a smile. Again, that's what we should wish for. That's the reason why I believe that we continue to keep things in the Lord's house exactly the way that the New Testament does, because I don't think that the Lord is going to smile on it if we start bringing stuff into the church that is not in His Word. He is the God of order. If He'd have ordered it here, He'd have put it here. I guarantee you, everything that He wants to be in His church is in His Word. If He'd have wanted anything else, He'd have put it here in His Word. But we've got everything here that's in His Word. We have singing, we have prayer, and we have preaching service. That's what we have. We have fellowship during warm weather. And that's what the Lord provides in His Word, and He continues to bless it. He continues to smile. Yeah, we're not as big as some church. We might say, well, He's blessing others because they're doing other things. No, not necessarily. That's not necessarily the case. I believe He's blessing us. I believe that the Lord blesses us with His presence here when we meet, because we do things right. We do things by the Word of God. But the end of verse 15 says, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If you have gained thy brother, guess what? If you can sit down with somebody and you can talk over a dispute and you can get it right between yourself, you may have found somebody that you'll grow closer to than you will somebody who you may have been closer to prior to that. Because it's a bond that you create that was not there before. It's a bond. You've dealt with something through Christ. You gained your brother. If you go back some in the 18th chapter here, if I start reading in verse 12, how think ye, this is Christ talking, how think ye if a man having 100 sheep and one of them going astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is going astray? And it shall be that he find it. Verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. He rejoiceth more over the one that he went out and found. This whole chapter is dedicated towards, if you go back and you read it tonight, this whole chapter is dedicated towards maintaining unity, maintaining fellowship. The Lord doesn't want it any other way. He wants us to do things His way, and He wants us to be in one accord together. That's the way the Word of God is. That's the way God set up His Word in order to keep us in line, in order to keep doing things the way He wants us to do it. Verse 14, even so is it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's touching on, of course, none of the elect children of God will perish. But nonetheless, He is talking about if one of His sheep, they're a sheep. He's not talking here about bringing somebody to Christ who is not already born again. They were already sheep. Sheep is in the Bible is an indication of a child of God. He didn't say that a sheep turned into a goat and went away, and then when he was brought back in, he was a sheep again. No, he was a child of God who went astray, and the Lord, when He brought him back in, He rejoiced more than the 99 who went not astray. It is fellowship that the Lord is focused on. That is His main focus, is keeping unity. And if we do things by the Word of God, we'll keep it. I promise you. And if we don't, it won't be because the Lord doesn't shine down on it. It'll be because somebody here has got some sort of another axe to grind. It won't be because the Lord does not bless it, and the Lord doesn't regain the fellowship. That the Lord will regain it. If everybody's mind is in the right place, the Lord will reinstate that fellowship. The Lord will bless it if you do it in this order. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or, this is verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. I spoke a couple weeks ago on establishing the Word of God. It's in the book of Corinthians that when you preach on a point from the Word of God, that you if it's a questionable point, that you go to two places in the Bible to prove it, because it says in the mouth of two or three witnesses may thy truths be established. The same thing goes if the brother won't hear you and you've got a problem. You still got a problem and you went and you didn't get it solved. What is step two? Step two is you take someone with you. And it says you It says take two or three more with you. You take two or three more brethren from the church. Again, you don't use the outside world and the influence of the church. We're not under the jurisdiction of the outside world. I think that's the reason why churches should be separate from the world. You shouldn't establish a church in a quote unquote non-profit organization. Because when you do that, then you've now subjected yourself to the world. You're now under subjection of the world. There may come a time, I believe as long as we do that, as long as we say, look, we're separate from the world, I don't think the world can have its influence on you. But once you let the world have its influence on you one time, then you better watch out, because it may creep in one of these days where if they don't want that church meeting, they don't want the church under those beliefs to be there anymore. They may be able to use the rural government to remove you and to not let you do that anymore. I've heard a sermon on that before, and I believe it to be true. But nonetheless, that is the path to take. If you can't get your point across with one person, then you take two or three more with you, and you take it to establish your fault. You take it to establish your fault with this brother, so that then if it needs to be brought to the church, which is the next step, it won't just be your word against his, then it's two or three who stand and who say, this is what happened, this is what's been said to this point, and that's the next step, is not just your word against his in the church, so the church is not having to determine who's telling the truth and who's not, but instead, you've got more than one mouth. Then you've got just as they use in the court of law today, they use witnesses. So that's what you've got here on your side. The church at Corinth, and I'm going to use them for an example because we know that they had an issue that they had to deal with. The Apostle Paul, writing in the First Corinthian letter, in verse 11 of chapter 1, said, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." The Apostle Paul grieved heavily over these contentions. And I'm going to read some of the Second Corinthians letter. He didn't tell them in this letter that he was grieving over it, but I guarantee you when there's contentions in the church, there's not a person that grieves more than the pastor. And I guarantee the Apostle Paul was no different. The pastor is not an apostle. But I guarantee the Apostle Paul was not void of that. It's hard to dictate the way a pastor looks and feels about the church. But when there's trouble in the church, I guarantee you it doesn't bother anybody more than it bothers the pastor. That's the one who it affects the most, and it affected the Apostle Paul too. He had heard by the mouth of Chloe that there were contentions among that church there at Corinth. What was one of the contentions? If we go to verse 4, chapter 5, they had a brother in there who was committing adultery with his father's wife. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, am judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. The Lord has inspired the Apostle Paul here to write concerning one of the contentions. This was just one of the contentions that they were going through. If we read on, we know that they were abusing the Lord's Supper. There was a lot of things going on in this church. You look around and maybe you know of some things going on in churches around. It's not near the status of the church at Corinth. They were having trouble, but yet they were still a church. They were still continuing in the faith. And I don't know how much longer they. I don't know the history of the church at Corinth enough to know how much past these contentions they continued on. But nonetheless, the Apostle Paul still recognized them as a church. So again, the church, a sign of the church is not a perfect people where there's no contentions amongst the people, where there's nothing that's going wrong. The church is the one that are contending for the faith and are still trying to correct the issues. The house of Chloe had written the Apostle Paul and said, look, we've got some things going on here. So there were some in the church there who were obviously trying to fix them. They were still a church. They were still contending for the faith. They were still the Lord's church. But they had not done the third thing that I just read in Matthew chapter 18. The Apostle Paul says they've done nothing but be puffed up towards his brother. So apparently the brother must know that he's in the wrong, and he was in the wrong in this situation, but they had not turned him out. So the Apostle Paul said, get this brother from you. Get him out from amongst you. He doesn't belong in there. And I'm going to read in the 2 Corinthians that this brother came back because he sought the fellowship. Again, the whole church. The whole reason why he established these rules in Matthew chapter 18 was to continue fellowship. It was never to bust it up. The Lord doesn't want that. The Lord wants people to repent. And the Lord wants the sheep to come back home. That's what the Lord joys in that happening. The Lord joys in peace amongst his people. He doesn't want it to happen. But nonetheless, if a brother refuses to repent from doing what he's done, then there's no other course of action to take. But in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, to establish the fact that they were using they had gone to the outside law to establish what should have been done in that church. Chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and that the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more then pertain to this life? They had gone and sought outside counsel to deal with the issue within the church. The Apostle Paul said, no, sir. That's not right. That's not the way it's done, brothers and sisters. It is to be done within the church. If there's a problem that you have with a brother in the church, don't go ask somebody whether or not you should be offended that's not even a member of the church. Then you've just made somebody frown upon your church and upon your beliefs, you've done it the wrong way. And already they've got a negative outlook on the church. They've already wondered, well, yeah, I agree with you. You ought to be mad about that. So you've already, you've sown discord. You've got somebody else mad at somebody else. And guess what? They don't even, yeah, you may love them, but they don't matter towards the fellowship in the church. They're not having it anyway. They don't have fellowship within the church anyway. So again, we don't use the outside world to tell us the way we do things here in the Lord's house. We use this. Again, we use this. This is what we use to determine the way we do things here in God's house, not the outside world, not the not whatever the local megachurch and the way they do things. That is not the way God established His church and His word. And the church of Corinth had done that very thing. And to go over the last thing before I go to the book of 2 Corinthians, where his brother wrote back, and we read about the Apostle Paul's mourning over this situation. And I want to go back and I want to read, what's the last thing you do? If you can't get it solved, and you still feel like you have a fault with somebody, and you can't get it solved with taking two or three more with you, and you can't talk it out as somebody acting in the form of a mediator, then you bring it to the church. You don't bring it to the church first. You bring it to the church after you've gone through step one and step two. Then you bring it to the church and let the church, let the local body decide. Notice he didn't say take it to the associational meeting. Doesn't say that. There's no associations in the Bible. I don't have a problem in terms of fellowship. But in terms of another church telling us or any other church that I'm a member of what to do, I don't agree with it, because God's word says the local church is the governing body. It's not the association. And in times past, again, the old Baptists have done plenty of things to hurt our numbers. And I believe that's one of the biggest things we did, is we let somebody lord over an association years ago who told all the other churches what they ought to be doing. And that's not right. The Lord's not going to bless it if you do it that way. You may get by with it for a while, and again, you may not see the influence of it for years to come, but the Lord's not going to add His blessings to it unless you do it His way. And verse 17 of Matthew chapter 18 says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a pope. And that is the case that we ran into there in Corinth. This brother was put out from amongst the church because of the sin that he committed. And then he says, Christ says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, he's looking down, brothers and sisters, on what's going on. He wants it to be bound here on earth. And if it's bound, it's because he blessed it. If it's loosed, it's not because he made it loose. It's because you didn't do things the way he told you to do them, and he didn't bless it to be rebounded. The same statement is made after Christ established his church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In order to continue in the truth and upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the Lord had to continue to bind what was being done here on earth. He had to continue to bless from heaven what was being conducted here in His house. And He says, whatsoever shall be loosed. No, that doesn't mean that the Lord tears apart a church when it doesn't continue down the right path. It just means that He quits blessing it, and that's enough. That's enough. Again, that's all we want, is the Lord to smile on us and the Lord to continue to bind what we do. All He's got to do is lift His blessings from it. That's when bad things happen to us. It's not because the Lord makes them happen. It's because you don't continue down the path that He's told you to stay in, and He doesn't bless you anymore. And we're not worthy of them anyway. So we shouldn't consider ourselves worthy of them if we know we're doing something that we're not supposed to be doing. That's the way the Lord looses things in heaven. It's not because He reaches down there and He says, like that. It's just because the only thing holding us together anyway is Him. That's the only thing holding the fellowship together, is His blessings. It's because we do things with what He blesses us with, which is His Word. But the Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians letter to, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. He's talking about the first letter that he wrote. He wrote unto them with a heavy heart. Did he let them know that when he wrote the first letter? Probably not as much as he's letting them know now, because he was getting on to them. He didn't want to let them know that it was out of emotion instead of out of the Lord writing this telling this on his heart. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. The Apostle Paul says, and he wrote to them in grief. Again, it troubles the shepherds when the flock is in disarray. It was troubling to him. It troubled him to have to write this. It was not something that that him standing up with his chest stuck out wrote and pounded on a gavel. No, he wrote with grief in his heart. He grieved for this brother. And this brother that they turned out, he came back. And he says, you've punished him. He's come back. He wants to be back amongst you. And you did things in the order of God. You may not have done them the right way to start off with, but you've done them in the right order now. So do as God did. As he ought. And I was going to go through that whole, all those next verses of scripture that follow up. And it says, how many times you should forgive a brother? It says, how shall I forgive my brother? Still 7 times. And though I forget the total number, but it's endlessly that you should forgive a brother. Again, this is something that you do with the church. Somebody in the outside world, you can handle them however you want to. This is the way that you handle someone within the church. I don't think that you have to endlessly forgive somebody who's faulted you out in the world. I don't think that's going to... You'll probably be better off just leaving them alone and getting closer to the people in the church. But if somebody in the church, you'll constantly forgive them. Because in verse 35, why do we forgive somebody? Why do we have a forgiving heart? Why should we, as the church, want to deal with issues within and want to get them solved and want the one in the wrong to be forgiven? Because... So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Because the Lord's blessing upon us depended on us doing that very thing. We need the Lord's blessing. And if we don't forgive like we should forgive, if we don't conduct these faults, if someone is faulted, you go to them alone. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, said in chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it become the gospel of Christ. When someone has faulted you, you don't need to go to someone else. You don't need to go to someone outside of the church. You don't... Little rascal snuck in here today, didn't he? You don't need to go to someone outside of the church. You don't need to go to someone else in the church yet. You need to go to the person who's followed you and let your conversation be sweet. Because if you go to someone else first, odds are you're sowing a little bit of discord that wasn't there. And the Lord hates it. I'm not saying that the Lord won't bless it if you get it back in line. I'm just telling you that right out of the gate you started out wrong. If you've got a fault against them, you need to go to them. You don't go to someone outside the church to find out if we're doing things right within the church. You go to God's Word and see if we're doing things right within the church. And if you still feel, and if you say, well, it's just a minor offense, and if I don't get it solved with him, then I'm not going to bring it to the church. It's just not big enough. If it's not big enough to bring to the church, then it ain't big enough to go to the brother about or the sister. It's not big enough. It's just big enough that it'll fit down your throat and you swallow it. If it's not big enough to bring to the floor or the conference of the church, then it's small enough for me, for you and I to swallow it down. Because you might say, well, I just want to do the first one. Well, that's fine, but odds are you just created discord amongst two people if you go through them and you don't continue it out and you don't follow it through. But if it's enough to swallow down at the end, it's enough to swallow down at the beginning and move on and move forward. But again, the whole theme is continuing fellowship. That's what the Lord wants out of His church. The Lord does not want dissension among us. He wants us to be in one accord, in unity. Does that mean that we have to agree on every nasty point of doctrine? Yeah. But how you raise your family, how I raise mine, unless you're beating the tar out of them and bringing them to church with black eyes, no, it's not any of my business as long as you're providing for them. But does it mean that we have to be in unity in the Word of God? Yes, it does. But it does not mean that we have to. It doesn't mean that we're not a compound. We don't all live within a walled city and all have to put up with what each other does all week long. But God's Word provides us the things to do to continue fellowship. That's what He wants in His churches. And so often in the past, instead of dealing with it, instead of going to a brother, instead of dealing with an issue and speaking hard about it, our churches have jumped to the third thing and just just turn somebody out. It's been done. And the Lord didn't bless it. The Lord hadn't blessed everything the old Baptists have done in the past. The Lord blessed what we do as Macedonia Premier Baptist Church, following His Word of God. That's what the Lord's blessings will be applied to. And that alone, if we ever get out of line from it, His blessings will be lifted off of us, and we'll be a sheep scattered, going astray. We can meet here, we'll sing, and I'll preach. But if His Spirit be not here with us because we haven't done things the right way, then shame on us. And He doesn't owe us a thing. He doesn't owe us that. We only owe it to us if we do it the way He's told us to do it. So may we continue here at Macedonia Premier Baptist Church, continuing in the Word of God, continuing to do things the way that the Lord has established. If,